الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. So a few sessions ago, we spoke about the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the other thing that is related to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is called seclusion, where you disconnect yourself from routine. And you try to disconnect yourself from the normal daily routine. And you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was not blessed with the title of the Prophet in a grocery store or when he was connected to the world. It happened when he was connected, or rather disconnected from that society. And this brings us to this very important concept in our deen, which is called salah, or namaz. In one sense, the salah is supposed to be a disconnect from our daily routine. And the Prophet ﷺ, he would, if you know the seerah, he would retreat to a secluded area, and he could have gone anywhere outside of the city. But he found a secluded place. And why is that? And this is also important for us, that we try to get away from the noise of the TV or the noise of your siblings or other people arguing in your home, your little brother, your sister jumping here and there on the bed. That is usually the stuff in the house. And just to be able to really have full focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that really is the purpose of salah, to slow down our life and to purposely connect back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quran. Now, one way to intellectually understand the importance of salah is to look at this ayat of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that I've not created jinn and mankind except for my worship. And one way you can understand the importance of salah is to sort of step back, remember the importance of ibadah and worship in Islam. That man or women, they've been created to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this does not mean that we spend all of our time in ibadah. And if you were to reflect on the glory of Allah, the majesty of Allah, it befits the majesty and the shan of Allah that we spend our entire time, our entire life in sajda. But in reality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to live in this world. We have to be a contributing members of the society, so for the society. We have to be contributing members of our families. We have to be contributing members of our cities, of our countries that we're living in. And hence, formal worship is not 24/7. We are not formally required to be on the sajda 24/7. So we are not doing something 24 hours a week, but rather we are doing that ibadah 5 times every day, right? And the purpose of our creation was to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly in a high quality. And then we can think that salah is fulfilling our actual purpose for existence, for our creation. And even though everything that we do in one sense is construed as worship, salah is 100% pure ibadah. And we have been sent to this world for this worship. So all the more when we are doing our salah, that's the time we should be very focused because salah is pure ibadah. And for those people who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's how they view this. It's an opportunity to get some more and more blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They couldn't wait for salah because they knew that salah is unadulterated, pure ibadah. That's really what salah is. That makes a person forget about everything else in this world and allows a person to cut themselves from food, drink, interaction. We cut our body, our mind, our heart, everything, cut them from the dunya, and then we try to connect everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're connecting our body, our mind, our thoughts, our feelings, uniting them in the exclusive remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then if you think about salah in that way, we realize how incredibly important that aspect of our day would be, that we are trying to attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes, people think that becoming Muslim is easy, but in reality, it's very hard. Becoming a Muslim by tongue is very easy, but becoming a practicing Muslim, that's very hard. And it makes no difference whether the tongue says that we are a Muslim, but if the eyes and the ears and the limbs are not Muslim. And by this, it means that we should try to obey the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and more so this very central command, which is salah. We should strive to become Muslims from head to toe. And for those people who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, salah is really an opportunity for them to. It's an opportunity for them to get the barakat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The way we can understand this is to think about a phone. And when the charge goes away, we have to recharge our phone. And the phone is only functional for as long as the charge is there. When the battery dies down, we have to recharge. Just like that, a moment they put their qalb, their heart back into their ibadah, back into their salah. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this salah. It has a repetitive nature, 5 times every day. Indeed, when Allah says in Quran that we have prescribed and decreed this prayer upon the believer at specified times. Why? There's a dualistic aspect that when they're praying during their ibadah, they can utterly and completely absorb themselves in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's remembrance. Exclusive, complete remembrance of Allah. And that is the potential that the salah has. And for every one of us, we have the potential to be able to go so deep into that salah that we can utterly absorb ourselves in the remembrance of Allah. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said that for a mu'min, this salah is miraj al-mu'min. It's the spiritual exaltation of a person. Like think about Miraj when the Prophet ﷺ went to the 7 heavens and beyond that, and then was in the company in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that actually is salah for us, spiritual Miraj. And that's the first aspect. However, what is beautiful about salah is it doesn't end there. When you say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, you come out, the residual and the lasting effect of that worship can still stay with us until the next time we pray. And that's why there's a repetitive nature, that five times every day of our life. Why? Because we can plunge, take this plunge into the depth of worship and remembrance of Allah at least five times. And then when we come out of that, then we have some residual effect. And that's the cell phone example, right? That you can use the cell phone, and then when the battery dies out, you recharge it. And just like that, a believer, they put their heart back into their ibadah, into their salah, and they can recharge their heart. Now, sometimes on certain days, a person might think that we're so busy, we get lazy, we get tired, and we forget to pray. And even when a Prophet ﷺ has said that, shall I tell you of people who are in grave loss? And those people are those who miss their salah. And what is much worse is that some of us, or maybe vast majority of Muslims, we don't even have the ability to pray all five of the daily salah. We miss this very fundamental act of worship in our deen. And when we miss our salah, one hadith we can remember is that once the Prophet ﷺ said that, what is the difference between belief and disbelief except for leaving prayer? And that's a very strong statement. That's actually the difference between belief and disbelief. And another way we can understand the consequence of missing salah intentionally is to imagine that shaitan, all of us know what happened to shaitan, but what was the act that shaitan did? Shaitan refused one sajda. That's it. Shaitan refused Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just that one sajda. And because of that refusal of one sajda, he became shaitan. From Taus al-Malaika becoming shaitan. And when a person refuses to pray, when they intentionally miss a salah, imagine how many sajdas that person is refusing. And nowadays, you know, we have the mentality that if we don't pray now, we can pray later. And yes, alhamdulillah, we are lucky that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this mercy, that He has allowed us to do qaza of our salah when we miss it. But even when we do qaza of our salah, unless it is accompanied with that true tawbah and sincere repentance and a firm intention never to miss salah again, then that qaza salah would not have fulfilled its entire purpose. And that's why another hadith the Prophet ﷺ told us to remember is that this salah is la imana lima la salata lahu, that there's no complete iman in that person who doesn't have salah. And this iman is linked with our salah. And then the second thing that we have to also understand, which is mentioned in the Quran several places, is that not just simply praying there and just physically being present, but also trying to work upon the quality of that salah. And this is the concept of khushu and khuzu. And again, that's another very big blessing of Allah, that a person, they can bring themselves to pray, even though they don't feel anything in that salah. That's the first degree, that a person can come and you can, you know, just like in university, you have to sort of work sometime for a few years, and then after that you get the degree. So same thing here. First we have to work hard on making our salah, and then one day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can also give us the feeling in our salah, that humility, that khushu, that khuzu, that remembrance can come inside of our salah. But it won't come on day one, right? Just like we don't get the degree on day one. You have to wear it for 4 years, and then that's the outcome of the effort, right? The outcome cannot be given to us at the outset, at the forefront. So that cannot be a condition, that I don't pray because I don't feel anything. That's the whole idea, that you pray so that we can get that khushu and remembrance. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that we should try to have humility and work on the quality. And again, sometimes when we sort of pray very quickly, 2, 4, and then we say salam and we move away, we should think about this ayat where Allah says that فَوَيْلُ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ, that woe to those people who pray. And it's not that woe to those people who are not praying. This ayah here is about those who pray. Woe to those people who pray, but how do they pray? Allazina hum an salatihim sa'un. They're heedless of Allah and their salah. So their prayers, they're praying, but they're heedless inside their prayer. And on the other hand, Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, that certainly the believers have succeeded. And how does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala define the believers? أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ, those who, while they're praying, they pray with this kafiyat of khushu. They pray with remembrance, with humility. And all of these ayahs are showing us the importance of praying with humility. That we pray with this awareness of Allah, and we pray with the remembrance of Allah. Even the word in Quran, Allah that often uses, is not that you pray salah. It's aqimu salah, that establish salah. Aqimu means straighten your salah. Just like some, when we iron our clothes, we straighten out the creases on our clothes. Similarly, aqimu salah means that you should establish the salah firmly. Straighten out your salah. And this is so important, that we have spoken about so many deeds that we should do this and that. But in one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that the first deed of a person that will be reckoned on the day of judgment will be that person's salah. And if the person succeeds on that first question of salah, on that first deed, and they attain their goal, then that person will be successful on that day also. And if the salah is accepted on that day, then everything will be accepted on that day. So subhanAllah, this is something that we should work on and try to improve our salah. Be regular first and foremost in our salah. Try to pray regularly the 5 daily salahs. And then on top of that also, try to work on the quality and bringing khushu and the zikr. Because that's what Allah says, this is the purpose of salah. وَأَقِمْ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِ, that is, everything has a purpose, right? You use a pen, that pen has a purpose. We have a machinery, that machinery has a purpose. The car has a purpose. You can have zabardast, amazing car, BMW, Lamborghini, Diablo, whatever you want to have, you can have it. But if you don't put the fuel, that car is not fulfilling its function. It won't be able to take you anywhere. It has a shiny exterior, amazing interior, but it's not fulfilling its purpose. So in the same way, Allah gives us the purpose, defines that the purpose of salah is zikr and the remembrance of Allah. And we should then try to build our salah to such a state that it can fulfill its purpose. And then when the salah becomes purposeful, it is able to attain that purpose, that salah will prohibit a person from the fahasha and the munkar. That salah will save a person from immorality and wrongdoing. That's the purpose of salah. It's supposed to stop us from sin, from all those things that are impermissible, those things that are displeasing to Allah. But if you are lying before salah and after salah, backbiting before salah and after salah, deceiving people before salah and after salah, means that salah is not fulfilling its maqsad. The maqsad was to be a shield, an armor, a guard. And that's why we have to fix the salah. The salah is supposed to purify us, right? Once the Prophet ﷺ was walking by a river, and he said to his companions, that, O Sahaba, do you think that the dirt can remain on a person who takes a shower 5 times every day in this stream, which is running in front of his door? And the Sahaba replied, no, there's no dirt can remain on that person's body. And then the Prophet ﷺ remarked, that's exactly similar as the effect of salah, which a believer offers 5 times every day. With the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it washes away all the sins. That is salah. It purifies a person. It's salatul mu'min. It's mirajul mu'min. Right. There was a sahabi by the name of Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala an. He narrates that once the Prophet came out of his house It was autumn and the leaves were falling off the trees. And he caught a branch of a tree and its leaves began to drop in large number. And at this, he remarked that, O Abu Zar, when a Muslim offers their salah to please Allah, their sins are shed away from them just as these leaves are falling off this tree. This is what we are losing out. And hence, it's important for us to do some mehnat and work on improving our salah. So I want to leave you with some practical steps that can, inshallah, this will help us improve the quality of our salah. Number one thing that we have in the hadith is that a person should try to remove as many sins as they can from their life. So we did this before, also leaving sin, picking one and then trying to eliminate that. And this is important because when the sins they are wiped away, then a person can feel the effect of that salah. And a lot of times what happens is that when we sin, we run away from salah. When a young man or a young woman, they sin at night, the last thing he or she wants to do is to pray salah. They're too ashamed to stand in front of Allah after that sin, at that moment of sin. And what we have to do is that at that very moment of sin, we have to force ourselves to face Allah. And the more and more we leave sin outside of salah, the more we'll be able to feel Allah inside of our salah. It's a direct relationship. The more we bring Allah back into our life outside of salah, the more Allah will come back into our life inside of salah. So that's number one. And number two is that we should be remembering Allah while doing wudu. And this is another special part of Allah's mercy, that Allah has given us some time for preparation. And wudu is supposed to be actually done in such a state that a person is very aware of Allah. And some of the early Muslims used to be so aware of Allah that when they would be doing wudu, washing hands, they would be thinking that the sins of their hands are being washed away. They will be washing their face and they'll be thinking that the sins of my eyes are being washed away. They'll be gargling and they'll be thinking that whatever backbiting and lying we did during the day, that's being washed away. Our tongues are being purified. And then that's how they would wash every part of their body. They would do masa on their forehead and all the sinful thoughts that we had, that's being washed away. And when a person performs wudu with that level of awareness and concentration, naturally they're already there, right? You know, in salah, we're supposed to reach 100%. And then when we are in sort of in the dunya with 0% and trying to make this transition from 0 to 100, that's difficult. But Allah has given us this ibadah called wudu. Then when you come in wudu, step there, you can build it up from zero to reach some level. Whether it's 50, 60% awareness of Allah. And then when you hit the salah, it's easy to go from 60 to 100 as opposed to going from 0 to 100. So, you know, a person can try to practice this of being ba-wuzu all the time. Why? Because wudu is a weapon of the believer. It helps us stay away from sin. And this is something we can practically test. That when we are in a state of wudu, there'll be less wasavis from shaitan, less inclination to sin. And the more remembrance of Allah, the more ability to remember Allah, we'll feel that ourselves. The Prophet ﷺ was asked that, how will you recognize your ummati on the day of judgment? And he said that I'm going to look at their faces and there'll be faces will be shining with the nur on the day of judgment, and their faces will be shining because of the wudu that they used to do. And not just in their faces, but their whole aza, whatever limbs they used to wash with wudu, in part during the wudu, that those limbs will be shining on that day. And that's how the Prophet ﷺ, inshallah, was going to recognize us on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And then linked with wudu is also azan. And alhamdulillah, we say this to people living in Muslim countries, it's a very big blessing that a person gets to hear azan, and not once, multiple times, and so many masajids. When you go live in the West, it's very difficult. It's something that you do taraste, right? People desire, people have these alarm clocks at home and they set the time. That's a replacement. It's a good backup to have. But azan is something which is a big blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's a blessing because, again, it's another thing which enables the person to prepare for their salah. And if you're praying inside your Muslim country and you have the opportunity to listen to masjid, the salah coming from the masjid, the azan coming from the masjid, we should listen to it attentively. If you're praying at home, you can play the azan on the PC. And then while listening to the azan, be attentive. Make our heart attentive to those words. Amma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, and she says that the Prophet would be talking to us and we would be talking to him. But when the time for salah would come and the azan would begin, Allahu Akbar, it would be as if he doesn't even know us and we don't know him. He won't even recognize us. And I would ask him that, yes, no, Ya Rasulullah, we are before you. And he would say, Man anti, who are you? And I'd say, Anna Aisha, I'm Aisha. And he says, Man Aisha, who's Aisha? And I would reply, Aisha binti Abu Bakr, Aisha, the daughter of Abu Bakr. And the Prophet would say, Man Abu Bakr, who's Abu Bakr? And she said that at that time, I would realize that it's not going to help. That the Prophet has entered into a zone where if he doesn't recognize Abu Bakr, he's not going to recognize any one of us. So to make our heart attentive to azan, subhanallah, right? Listening to those words. And then linked with this is, we should try to pray in an environment that does not distract us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I mentioned this before also, that if you look, the salah is supposed to be done in a place where you have less distractions. The Prophet ﷺ, he would go out of the city to find a secluded area to remember Allah. Now, we can't do that, but what we can do is that at least we can make some room, some corner in our room, perhaps some area in our homes, in our rooms, to get away from that noise of the TV, or your siblings are arguing, or your little brother and sisters are jumping on the bed, which, right? And sort of move into an environment where there is some peace and tranquility, quietness, some seclusion, some separate spot, maybe a room, preferably where there is no sin, right? Make a small corner and try to focus, dive deep into the remembrance of Allah. If the TV is playing on very loud volume, we are playing the same room, we won't be able to develop that khushu in our salah. So that environment and making that environment conducive to our salah, that's another tip which is very helpful. And then for the men, and even for the women, they can practice this in their homes also, that sometimes waiting for the salah. This was the last. And this is the last sunnah of the Sahaba. The Sahaba, they would come and they would sit and they would be waiting for the salah, not coming at the last minute like we come. And again, that's also another. You're preparing yourself. You're coming slightly a few minutes early, sitting on the janamas and sitting down, disconnecting our mind, disconnecting our thoughts from the dunya, disconnecting our feelings, disconnecting our emotions, disconnecting completely. Trying to, right? Sitting down and trying to disconnect from our heart, from our actions, from our mind, and then waiting and trying to prepare ourselves for this act, this incredible act of salah, that we will be standing before Allah, in front of Allah, in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's sort of preparing ourselves for that meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like when sort of you have an interview coming up and tell you to sort of wait outside the door, and then we're going to call you inside. And in those last few moments, sort of you're just preparing yourself that in the next few moments, I'm going to be prepared, I'm going to sort of be presented before the people, and they'll start interviewing me. So that's the kefiyat that we should have, that we are waiting, that we will be now very soon be presented before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the majesty of Allah, the jamal of Allah, the jalal of Allah, the beauty of Allah, the azmat of Allah. And we just take a few seconds to disconnect from the dunya, from the mundane, right? These thoughts have made us old now. How long we'll keep thinking about these thoughts of the dunya over and over again? At that time, we sort of let go of all these thoughts and we try to prepare ourselves for this amazing thought of being standing and presenting ourselves before this amazing being, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when we step on the musalla, we say Allahu Akbar. When you say Allahu Akbar, then you're lost in that meeting with Allah. You're lost in that presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another thing that will help now, when you're inside that salah, we start paying attention to the words of that salah, to the words that we're uttering. Allahu Akbar. Allah is greater. He is greater than my thoughts. He is greater than my wishes. He is greater than the dunya. He is greater than everything which I thought was great. Allah is greater than that. He is the greatest. Allahu Akbar. We say takbirat tahreema. Tahreem means haram. Everything else has now become haram on me. It's only me and Allah. And then we start our salah by praising Alhamdulillah. All praises for Allah. Lillahi Rabbil Alameen. Who's the Lord, the Rabb, the Cherisher, the Creator, the Malik of all the Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. He is merciful. He is mercy giving. He is merciful. Maliki Yawmiddin. He is the Malik of that day. Malik, he's not the judge of that day. He is the Malik. He's the owner. Owner, Malik has all the right to do whatever he wants. Malik, if he wants, he can even forgive the servant for no reason whatsoever. We think about the mercy of Allah. And then when we think about the sifat of Allah, with our hearts, we say, Iyyaka na'budu, Allah, you and you alone do we worship. Wa iyyaka nasta'in. We just realized that, Ya Allah, I've made a very big commitment to you and a pledge to you that I will worship you and you alone. So then immediately you follow that up with Iyyaka nasta'in. Allah, I need help from you. I will not be able to fulfill this pledge unless I have madad, help and assistance from you. And then what is the greatest help, Ya Allah, I need from you? The greatest dua that I'm making to you, the greatest dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught in the Quran, that dua that I will keep on making every single day of my life until I pass away, that dua which the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam used to make, that dua every person, no matter how great and how exalted their rank will be, they still have to make that dua, dua for hidayah. Ihdina sirat. Allah, guide me. Give me hidayah. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Allah, guide me towards this straight path. Enable me to walk this straight path that leads towards you. Enable me to reach the destination, the target, the goal on this straight path, which is you. And what is the quality of this path? Sirat al-ladhina an'amt. Sirat al-mustaqim. It's a straight path. There is no crookedness. There's no curvature. No deviation on this path. Completely clear and straight. And what makes this path straight is Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. That there are footprints on this path. I'm not the only person traveling this journey. There are people before me. There are people, there are thousands and thousands of footsteps of people before me. These are the people who are an'amta alayhim. Allah, you send inamat upon them, favors upon them, blessings upon them. Allah, these were the siddiqeen, the nabiyeen, the siddiqeen, the shuhada, the salihin, the prophets, the truthful ones, the martyrs, the righteous one. Allah, I'm also following in their footsteps. I'm keeping my feet on their footsteps. Sirat al-ladhina. So this is our deen, right? That I'm, in one sense, I'm tabi'in, right? Followers and the followers of the followers of the followers, connecting back to this chain. And then Allah enabled me to follow on this path. And then غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ. And Allah, there's another path. That's the path of those people. Allah, save me from that path. The path of those people on whom there is your anger, your ghazab. And those people who were led astray. Let me say, Ameen. And then likewise, subhanAllah, if when you remember when you pay attention to the words of Salah, it automatically improves the quality of that Salah. And if Surah Fatiha is difficult, you can start with small things, small steps. Try to just make intention to fix the Subhana Rabbi al-Azim in your ruku. Subhana. Subhana. Allah is pure. This is also praising Allah. That you can, there are two ways to praise someone, right? You can say this person is intelligent, this person is beautiful, this person is wise, this person is energetic. That's one andaz of praising. There is another way of praising that this person is not lazy, this person is not a fool, this person is not ugly. That's also a way of praising. Subhana is that we are removing all defect from Allah. Allah is pure from all kinds of defect, flaws, faults, shortcomings, deficiencies, nooks, nuksan, whatever we can think of, anything slightly negative. Allah is Subhan, Subhan. Allah is free, pure from all of that, from all of those things. And He is Rabbi, my Lord, my Rabb. Not just the Rabbul Alameen, but He's my Rabb. And Allah Subhana Rabbi Al-Azim. He is the Azim, His Azmat. We reflect on the Azmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when you go into sajda, we say Subhana Rabbi Al-A'la. That Allah is A'la. He is the greatest. He is A'la. Fir'aun used to say Ana Rabbukum Al-A'la. The Haman, Karun, Nimrud, all of them used to say A'la. But Allah destroyed all of them. Allah is A'la. There's no superpower. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I've just bowed myself, done sajda before that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Al-A'la. Whatever thought, whatever being, whatever makhluk I can think, I have azmat of makhluk in my heart? No. Just like Alhamdulillah, all praise belongs to Allah, in the same way Al-Azmatulillah, all azmat belongs to Allah. If there is anything which we should sanctify and glorify, and we should have azmat about, that is only the being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no azmat in anything else. There is no azmat in any technology. There is no azmat in any person or any nation. Nothing. Al-azmatu lillah. All of azmat itself belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is al-azim. Allah is al-a'la. And it comes in a hadith that a person is closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in sajda. So we should try to fix our Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. And one last thing, which the Prophet ﷺ said, is that when you stand up for your salah, pray like you're praying your last salah. This is such a beautiful and a deep teaching that we don't know. If we will get another chance to get our sins forgiven in the eyes of Allah, we should offer our salah as if this is it. This is the last salah. I don't know. And waqi, we don't know. Who knows whether we'll get the opportunity to pray Maghrib or not? We prayed Asr, Alhamdulillah. Maghrib, we don't know. There's no surety. There's no guarantee. Every salah we pray, we should pray with that mindset. I'm praying my last salah. You know, when you know that this is the last, it's limited time, when there's something which is a limited quantity, then we begin to appreciate. Abhi Ramadan, you know, it's limited quantity. Abhi, we're just going along with the Ramadan. Right now, we have sort of 15 days are done. We are now not entering into Ramadan, we are leaving Ramadan. It's the way out now. So now, those days, we'll begin counting every single one of those days. In the same way, salah, this is my last salah. This is the last sajda that I'm doing. Imagine if you know that this sajda that I'm about to do, you said Allahu Akbar and now you're going into sajda. This is the last sajda of my life. Allahu Akbar, you know, that will increase the quality of that sajda. And final thing is to make dua to Allah. That Allah grant me istiqamah in my salah, enable me to pray 5 times daily with khushu, with khuzu. And that is really how we can improve our salah. Ramadan is an opportunity. It's a training. It's a training period for us. It's just a month which will fly past. It flies by. We waste time in warming up. We need to see that everything is on clearance sale in Ramadan. Everything in our deen is on clearance sale. And by clearance sale, I mean a real clearance sale. Not the kind of things that you have here in Pakistan, right? It's a Zabardast clearance sale. It's easy to get all the blessings in this month. Allah will give you a lot. You come, you're running. take one step towards Allah, Allah's Father will come many steps to you. We just have to present ourselves. We just have to start asking from Allah's Father for all these blessings. We have to begin to value our time, be extremely mindful of our time. You should address your nafs and remove the laziness of your nafs. This is the month to train ourselves for the entire year. Salah should be considered as a blessing, not a chore. We need to become people who can connect to Allah in Salah with our hearts, with our actions, thoughts, feelings, everything that we have. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us the tawfiq to perfect, improve and beautify our Salah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our Salah kamil wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. We'll make dua, inshallah. سبحان ربي الوهاب اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين يا الله يا رب كريم ہم آپ کے عاجز مسکین سے بندے ہیں اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما ہماری خطاؤں کو درگزر فرما اللہ ہمارے عیبوں کی پردہ پوشی فرما یا رب کریم ایک فقیر امیر کے در پہ حاضر ہے اللہ کمزور قوی کے در پہ حاضر ہے گناہ گار بخشنوار کے در پہ حاضر ہے یا رب کریم یا اللہ ہمارے تمام گناہوں کو بخش دیجئے ہمارے تمام گناہوں کو معاف فرما دیجئے یا رب کریم جو گناہ یاد ہے ان کو معاف فرما جو کر کے بھول گیا ان کو معاف فرما اللہ جن گناہوں کے بارے میں ندامت نہیں ہے اللہ ان گناہوں کے بارے میں ندامت عطا فرما دیجئے سچی ندامت سچی توبہ کی توفیق عطا فرما دیجئے اللہ جو گناہ ہم کر رہے ہیں اور پتہ بھی نہیں ہے کہ گناہ کر رہے ہیں یا رب کریم یا اللہ ہمیں علم عطا فرما اللہ گناہوں کی پہچان عطا فرما اپنے گناہوں کا اعتراف نصیب فرما اللہ اپنے قصوروں کا اعتراف نصیب فرما یا رب کریم یا اللہ اللہ جو گناہ میں یاد ہے ان کو معاف فرما جو کر کے بھول گیا ان کو معاف فرما اللہ جو گناہ جن کو گناہ سمجھتے بھی نہیں ہیں پھر بھی کر رہے ہیں یا رب کریم ہماری اصلاح فرما اللہ کامل اصلاح فرما اللہ ہم گناہوں کو چھوڑنا چاہتے ہیں ہم جانتے نہیں ہیں کیا گناہ ہے کیا کر رہے ہیں کن سے بچنا ہے کیا کام کرنا ہے لیکن یا رب کریم ہم آپ کو نیت دیتے ہیں اللہ ہماری نیت ہمارا ارادہ ہے کہ اللہ ایسا بننا چاہتے ہیں کہ آپ کو پسند آ جائیں یا رب کریم ہمارے گناہوں سے ہماری حفاظت فرما نیکی تقویٰ کی میں توفیق نصیب فرما یا رب کریم یا اللہ گناہوں سے بچ اللہ ہماری حفاظت فرما دیجئے اللہ ہمارے نفس و شیطان کے خلاف ہماری حفاظت فرما اللہ ہمیں اپنی محبت نصیب فرما اللہ اپنے ہمارے محبوب بندوں میں شامل فرما اللہ اپنے عشق آتش ہمارے سینوں میں پیدا فرما یا رب کریم یا اللہ ہم بھی آپ کے چاہنے والے بننا چاہتے ہیں محبت کرنے والے بننا چاہتے ہیں یا رب کریم جس کو بھی یہ چاہت ہے اللہ آپ کی طرف سے یہ چاہت ملتی ہے رب کریم ہمیں بھی چاہت عطا فرما دیجئے اللہ دنیا کی چاہتوں کو دل سے نکال دیجئے اللہ نفسانی شیطانی چاہتوں کو دل سے نکال دیجئے ہمارے دلوں کو صاف فرما دیجئے پاک فرما دیجئے اللہ میں توحید کا نور عطا فرما دیجئے شرک خفی شرک جلی دونوں سے اللہ ہماری نجات عطا فرما دیجئے یا رب کریم جس طرح سیدنا ابراہیم علیہ السلام کو آپ نے توحید خالص کا مقام عطا فرمایا انہوں نے تمام بتوں کو توڑ دیا تھا اللہ ہم بھی اللہ ہمیں بھی وہ توحید خالص کا مقام عطا فرما دیجئے اللہ تمام بتوں کو توڑ دیجئے اللہ چاہے ظاہر کے بت ہوں اللہ چاہے باطن کے بت ہوں چاہے تخیل کے بت ہوں چاہے خیالات کے بت ہوں اللہ تمام بتوں کو توڑ دیجئے अल्लाह हमें तौहीद का नूर अता फरमा दीजिए, अपनी मोहब्बत में शिद्दत अता फरमा दीजिए, अपनी मारफत में कमाल अता फरमा दीजिए, अल्लाह अपने जिक्र के अंदर यकसुई नसीब फरमा दीजिए। या रब करीम अपनी रहमतों के साथ हमारा मामला फरमा दीजिए। या अल्लाह या रब करीम हमें तमाम ईमानी सिफात नसीब फरमा, तमाम कुरानी सिफात नसीब फरमा। अल्लाह हमें तमाम जो सिफात नबी अलैहिस्सलाम के अंदर थी, अल्लाह हमें भी वो सिफात में से हिस्सा नसीब फरमा। अल्लाह जाहिर को सुन्नत से सजाने की तौफीक अता फरमा। अल्लाह बातिन में सुन्नत की मोहब्बत नसीब फरमा। अल्लाह बातिन के अंदर सुन्नत अखलाक नसीब फरमा। या रब करीम या अल्लाह दीन की मोहब्बत हमें नसीब फरमा दीजिए। अल्लाह दीन की हर एक एक चीज़ की मोहब्बत हमें अता फरमा दीजिए। या रब करीम या अल्लाह अपनी मोहब्बत अता फरमा दीजिए, गैर की मोहब्बतों को दिल से निकाल दीजिए। अल्लाह अपनी जमाल की तजलियात अता फरमा, अल्लाह अपने हुस्न की तजलियात नसीब फरमा। या रब करीम या अल्लाह या रब करीम रहमतों वाला मामला फरमा दीजिए। अल्लाह हमें अपने मुशाहिदे की कैफियत नसीब फरमा, मुराकबे की कैफियत नसीब फरमा। या रब करीम या अल्लाह हम आपका बनना चाहते हैं, अल्लाह हम आपको अपने आपके सामने पेश करते हैं। या रब करीम आपके तो लाखों करोड़ों अरबों खरबों बंदे हैं, लेकिन हमारा तो आपके सिवा कोई नहीं। या रब करीम हमें अपना बना लीजिए, हमें अपनी रगबत अता फरमा दीजिए। अल्लाह हमें अपनी तलब अता फरमा दीजिए, अपनी मोहब्बत अता फरमा दीजिए, अपनी खालिस इबादत अता फरमा दीजिए। अल्लाह इबादत के अंदर खुलूस अता फरमा, इबादत की लज्जत नसीब फरमा। अल्लाह नमाज की लज्जत अता फरमा। या रब करीम या अल्लाह नमाज को जिस हुजूरी के साथ पढ़ने की तौफीक नसीब फरमा, अल्लाह हाजिरी हुजूरी दोनों नसीब फरमा, इस्तकामत अता फरमा। अल्लाह जो नमाज में गलतियां हुई उनको माफ़ फरमा, जो भूल हुई उनको माफ़ फरमा, जो कज़ा हुई अल्लाह उस कज़ा को अदा करने के तौफीक नसीब फरमा। अल्लाह नमाज में हमें इस्तकामत अता फरमा दीजिए। अल्लाह नमाज में हमें सही मानों में मुसल्लीन बना दीजिए। या रब्बे करीम रहमतों वाला मामला फरमा दीजिए। अल्लाह नमाज में खुशु खुजू अता फरमा, तिलावत का मज़ा अता फरमा, अल्लाह तस्बीहात का मज़ा अता फरमा, अल्लाह दुआ मांगने की लज्जत नसीब फरमा। या रब करीम रहमतों वाला मामला फरमा दीजिए। अल्लाह गैर की मोहब्बतों को दिल से निकाल दीजिए। अल्लाह जो भी मोहब्बत हमें आपकी मोहब्बत से रोक रही है, अल्लाह हमें आगे बढ़ने की तौफीक अता फरमा। जो रुकावटें हैं अल्लाह रास्ते के अंदर हैं, अल्लाह हम नहीं जानते, जानते या नहीं जानते, अल्लाह तमाम रुकावटों को आप दूर फरमा दीजिए। नफ्स की रुकावटों को दूर फरमा, शैतान की रुकावटों को दूर फरमा, अल्लाह मखलूक की रुकावटों को दूर फरमा, अल्लाह दुनिया की रुकावटों को दूर फरमा। या रब करीम या अल्लाह हमें अपनी तरफ खींच लीजिए। अल्लाह हम खुद चलते चलते थक जाते हैं, अल्लाह हम एक कदम आगे बढ़ते हैं, नफ्स और शैतान कई कदम पीछे ले जाता है, फिसल जाते हैं, अल्लाह हम गिर जाते हैं। या रब करीम या अल्लाह हम आपको पुकारते हैं, या रब करीम आप हमें अपनी तरफ खींच लीजिए। अल्लाह अगर आपने हमें अपनी तरफ खींच लिया, हम आपकी तरफ पहुंच जाएंगे। या रब करीम हमें अपना बना लीजिए, अपने मुकर्रब बंदों में शामिल फरमा लीजिए, हमें अपना खुद कुर्ब अता फरमा दीजिए। या रब करीम रहमतों वाला मामला फरमा। अल्लाह इस मोहब्बत महबूबियत के रास्ते पे अल्लाह हमारी अन्य आसानियाँ पैदा फरमा, हमें आगे बढ़ने की तौफीक अता फरमा, हिम्मत अता फरमा, हौसला अता फरमा, यकीन नसीब फरमा, जज्बा अता फरमा। या रब्बे करीम या अल्लाह दीन में भी जज्बा अता फरमा, अल्लाह अकल हिकमत नसीब फरमा। या रब्बे करीम हमारी इन दुआओं को अपनी रहमतों से कबूल फरमा। या रब्बे करीम या अल्लाह जो आपकी मोहब्बत करने वाले बंदे गुजरे हैं, अल्लाह हमें उनकी भी मोहब्बत अता फरमा। अल्लाह हमें आपकी नबी अलैहिस्सलाम की मोहब्बत अता फरमा, अल्लाह अपने प्यारे औलिया की मोहब्बत अता फरमा, अपने उशाक की मोहब्बत अता फरमा, उलमा सुलहा की मोहब्बत अता फरमा। या रब करीम या अल्लाह जिनसे आप मोहब्बत करते हैं, अल्लाह हमें उनकी भी मोहब्बत नसीब फरमा। अल्लाह इस मोहब्बत की वजह से अल्लाह हमें अपनी मोहब्बत अता फरमा दीजिए। अल्लाह उन अमलों की मोहब्बत अता फरमा जिनसे आपको मोहब्बत मिलती है। या रब करीम या अल्लाह अल्लाह उस उन अमलों की उस इबादत की तौफीक नसीब फरमा, अल्लाह उन दुआओं को मांगने की तौफीक नसीब फरमा जिससे आपकी मोहब्बत मिल जाए। या रब करीम पूरे दिल से आपके मोहब्बत करने वाला बना दीजिए, पूरे दिल से अल्लाह आपको मोहब्बत करने वाला बना दीजिए, अल्लाह अब तक हम अधूरी मोहब्बतें करते रहे, अल्लाह हमारे दिलों को साफ फरमा दीजिए, अल्लाह हमारे पूरे दिलों को अल्लाह अपनी तरफ मुतवज्जे कर दीजिए, अल्लाह आप हमारे दिलों का किबला बन जाइए, या रब्बे करीम हमारे दिलों का अल्लाह किबला फेर दीजिए, अल्लाह अपनी तरफ फेर दीजिए, या मुकल्लिबुल कुलूब कल्लिब कुलूबना अला दीनिक, अल्लाह हमारे दिलों को अपनी तरफ फेर दीजिए, हमारे दिलों को अपनी तरफ बना दीजिए, तक्वा और तहारत अता कर दीजिए। या रब्बे करीम ये दिल तो आपकी दो उंगलियों के दरमियान है, जहां बदलना चाहें जहां फेरना चाहें फेर सकते हैं, या रब्बे करीम या अल्लाह हमारे दिल को अपनी तरफ अपनी जाने फेर दीजिए, या रब्बे करीम या अल्लाह हमें ऐसा बना दीजिए कि हर अमल में या अल्लाह आपकी रजा चाहते हों, हर ख्याल में अल्लाह आप चाहते हों, अल्लाह हर चाहत में आप हों, हर अमल में आप हों, या रब्बे करीम हमारी ख्यालात के अंदर आप हों, या रब्बे करीम या अल्लाह हमें जाकिर बना दीजिए, अल्लाह इस कुरान की आयत का मिसदाक बना दे, इन्ना सलाती व नुसुकी व महयाया व ममाती लिल्लाह रब्बिल आलमीन, कि हमारी तमाम इबादतें सिर्फ आपके लिए, तमाम मेहनतें अल्लाह सिर्फ आपके लिए, सिर्फ आपकी खातिर मेहनत हो, सिर्फ आपकी खातिर इबादत हो, अल्लाह हमारा जीना जिंदगी का एक एक लम्हा, अल्लाह एक एक लहजा एक एक दम या अल्लाह सिर्फ आपके लिए हो, अल्लाह हमारी मौत भी इसी हाल में हो, या रब्बे करीम या अल्लाह हमें अपना बना दीजिए, अल्लाह सर के बालों से लेके पैर के नाखूनों तक अल्लाह हमें अपना बना दीजिए, दीवाना बना दीजिए, अपना मस्ताना बना दीजिए, अल्लाह जुनून की हद तक अपनी मोहब्बत अता फरमा, एक जुनूनी ताल्लुक अता फरमा, आपके प्यारे महबूब सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम ने फरमाया कि अल्लाह से इतनी मोहब्बत करो हत्ता युकाल, के लोग कहने वाले कहें ये तो मजनून है, अल्लाह अपनी मोहब्बत की हमें शिद्दत अता फरमा दीजिए, रसूख नसीब फरमा, अपनी मोहब्बत में यकसुई यकजहती अता फरमा, या रब्बे करीम रहमतों के साथ हमारी इन दुआओं को कबूल फरमा, जो मांगना चाहिए था अल्लाह नहीं मांग सके, अल्लाह अपनी रहमत से वो भी अता फरमा, अल्लाह जो मांग गए उससे भी बढ़ के अता फरमा, अपनी शान करीमी रहीमी के मुताबिक अता फरमा, रब्बना तकब्बल मिन्ना इन्नका अंतस समीउल अलीम व तुब अलैना इन्नका अंतत तव्वाबुर रहीम व सल्लल्लाहु तआला अला हबीबिही खैर खल्किही मुहम्मदिन व अला आलिही व सहबिही अजमाइन बिरहमतिका या अरहमर राहिमीन।